Hello, everyone. How is everybody? Bright and early. Does everybody have coffee? Yeah, let's sing Pastor Schaller's song. You know that one? I got something that the world can't give, and the world can't take it away. I got something that the world can't give, and it keeps me day by day. Oh, I got something worth talking about. Makes me sing and it makes me shout. Hey, I got something that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. That's good enough. That got the blood flowing. All right. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you bless our time together. And we just thank you for this ministry and how it is a family. And we just pray that this will be a time where we can share together and encourage each other and seek your will for our lives as a family, as individuals, and also as a family. And we pray these things in your precious name. Amen. My name is Pastor Chris Armin. This is my wife, Julie. Oh, thank you. We're missionaries in southern Africa in a country called Malawi. It's very close to Wakanda. No, it's not up to this year. Oh, there it is, Malawi. Wakanda's not a real country, but a fictional one. I don't know why they always put fictional countries in movies, but especially in Africa. But we've been there for 6 years. And before that, we lived in Zambia. We were there for 5 years in total. And before that, we were both missionaries in Hungary. Nadjanyo sepen, Jula kazedben. And early on, we decided in our relationship and in our marriage that missions would be a central part of our relationship and our marriage. And we really believe that it's kept that relationship strong, and it's set the tone for our family. It's set the tone for what we do and the decisions that we've made in our life. And when we counsel people and when we're in the ministry, we believe that missions should be a part of everything we do. And a verse that we could turn to that I think it's a familiar verse, but we're not familiar with it, obviously. But it's a verse that I think is important for every person's family is in Proverbs 29, verse 18. Dyslexia. Setting it. And I think this verse is such a great verse, and it encapsulates our ministry. Our ministry is a great ministry of vision. And it says that where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Or he that keeps doctrine, happy is he. And the word for vision in Hebrew is a word that it's like a dream, or it's a vision, or it's a word from God. God gives you a word for your life. And, you know, missions, as we've heard so many times, it doesn't just have to be a foreign mission field, but just being in the plan of God for your life. This word about a vision says that God has given you something. God has spoken to you. God has told you something. And this is the important part of our families. When we started dating, when we have a relationship, what is the purpose for it? What's the purpose behind our marriage? What's the purpose behind our relationship? And if Christ is at the center of the relationship, we are asking that to God together.
God, what do you want our marriage to reflect to the rest of the world? What would you like our marriage to do to help the kingdom of God, to reveal the kingdom of God? And then it says, so without a vision, where there's no vision, the people perish. And we know Pastor Shibeli's definition, right? The people run wild. It also means like the people run around without a covering, which is interesting. That one of the great benefits of being in a church with a vision is that we have a covering. We have a covering in our relationship. We have a covering for our marriage. We have a covering for our family, for our children. And, you know, I grew up in this church. I went to school in the Christian school here, and I have so many friends that we graduated together. Some of us went to Bible school together. And it breaks my heart to see some of my friends that, I won't say, some of them are not in the church, but they're still following God, and they still have a vision, and they're going forward. And you can see that God still covers them. But those that stop following God, that stop pursuing the call of God in their life, you can see how things in their life are falling apart. Their marriages fall apart. Their families are falling apart. And I pray for them and I love them, but it's a testimony to us. It's a testimony to me that God keeps us. God covers us. God protects us as we are going forward and as we have a vision. So we thought, you know, I just, that's the little part that I have in the beginning, and my wife will say a few things too. But we'd also like to have this like a discussion, like a wrap session, as we do in Greater Grace, and ask questions and maybe comment on things, because we have so many examples here in front of us. Many of you are examples to us, and of your loyalty, of your faithfulness in the call of God. So we really like to open it up and have it more of a discussion. But I think the last thing I would say for now, I'm not going to put everything on my wife, but it's been incredible. It's been a blessing to be together, serving God together, and in the calling of God. And we got married, and we were here for a year in Baltimore. And 1 year after our marriage, we went on the team with Pastor Ronaldo to Zambia, just as a young couple, 1 year after being married. And I really feel like it set a foundation in our life of missions, of seeking the call of God. It was almost like an extended honeymoon. That's the way I looked at it, at least. And yeah, there was tough parts, but it was so much fun. You know, it was fun to be on the field together and to be serving together. And then we came back here to Baltimore, and because she was pregnant with our first child, and we ended up, we thought we were just going to stay here. We kind of put our roots down, and we were here for like almost 3 years, right? Had a job, was active in the church. We were doing outreach. We had an outreach area. And as we were here, I made a promise to the students that we had in Zambia that I'd be there for their first graduation. So I took a trip to Zambia for just like a week. We're there at the graduation, and I was there at the graduation, and I was overwhelmed just by the presence of God and seeing all these graduates that we were there in the beginning of the Bible school. And we were there for when they started. And then as they graduated, we were there to see them and their beginning of them going out and what they were doing with their lives. And as I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit, I don't know, it wasn't audible, but just said, you'll be back. You're coming back. And I just, in my mind, thought, you know, how is this possible? How could we ever come back? We have a family. We had two children by then. I had a job. I had multiple jobs. We were in the church, and it just seemed impossible. But I came back, and I was just, we were talking, and she was asking me how the trip was in Zambia, and I said, this is something crazy, but what do you think about all of us moving back to Zambia, moving back to Africa with our family? And I was completely ready to get shot down and say, like, you know, you're crazy, you're not thinking properly. You know, we have a house, we have furniture, we have our children here. How can we pick up and move all of a sudden? But it was just a vision. It was a vision in our heart. And I'm sure God was doing something in her life. And she said, okay, let's do it. And then once we made that decision, it's like God opened every door. It was incredible. We sold everything in our house, and it actually sold. We didn't have to dump things in the dump. People bought them. Usually, I don't know, nowadays on Craigslist and things, you can't sell anything. And yeah, that was amazing. We didn't, you know, we needed to find someone to rent our house, and it just happened miraculously. Someone needed a place that was in the church that understood, you know, missions and the vision, and that happened miraculously. Finances came in miraculously, and we just sensed that it was really the call of God. And it's because of the vision that's been put in our life by Dr. Stevens and by the leadership in the church. And God gave a provision for the vision. But the thing that struck me the most was just the willingness and the unity that we had together as a family. And to just say, okay, this is the call of God. This is what God wants us to do. So let's pursue it together. Let's do it together. And it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing for our children to see people in a third world culture and have friends that are beyond their everyday life, to have friends in multiple continents. You know, they come back here and they have friends here in Baltimore, that we have friends in Malawi and Zambia and the different places where we visited. And it's just a continual blessing. So I'll hand it over to Julie for a little bit.
Hello. I'm going to say hi to my French people there. Hi. I love seeing them. I don't know if any of you know me or anything. I'm Julie. My home church is actually the Southern France, Nîmes. So that's why they are precious to me and to my heart, even though I don't visit there very often. I think of them very often. My mom is still there in my hometown. It's true. That question that he asked me, he even asked me a few days ago, and I was like, oh, do I have to really, like, rethink? Did you just turn up the volume? All right. He asked me, like, what made you, like, say yes right away without even questioning or anything? And I had to, like, think, okay, it's been how long now, 10 years? Do I really have to remember? Because really I didn't remember. And it started even earlier in my life, for sure. And the way he said it, let me start, like, a little bit to back up a bit. The way he said it, to... If the people perish, if you don't have a vision, the people will perish. And it's not that we sat down as a new couple when we first got married and were specifically looking for anything, for a vision or for a special calling. But right away we knew when we first met. We met on the mission field, so we knew that we had we already had a step in it. We already understood it. I grew up with my mom and three brothers. We already had a step on the mission field. We lived in Romania for a few years. We then moved to Hungary for a few years with my mom. Where's my mom? She's there. So we used to drive from the southern France all the way to Romania. It was a day and a half trip. At the time, I wasn't driving, so she was the only one driving. So already we had, there's this mission and this heart, you know, to reach out to other people. Even though we were moving to a country that didn't speak French, we had to somehow, you know, talk to other people. Right away, we were exposed to a different culture. So when I met my husband, I knew that, you know, right away, what is it going to be? Are we going to have just an American life, which I didn't want? Right away, we knew. So he was kind of safe that I wasn't just going to want to be here and have a career and just buy a house and just be satisfied here. Even though we did it eventually, and we didn't really know where it was going to bring us. Eventually, we had to sit down and say, okay, where are we going here? We are buying a house. We have to have a plan, because it's so easy to just, you know, okay, you get married. You don't really have a lot of things. The first year of marriage was just like, even our marriage, we got married, right, in the chapel. Everything was just like miracle. It was just all a miracle. The body coming, I was a foreign student. He was coming back from the mission field. I mean, it was just everything God brought together. So what we knew right away here, I have one verse, actually, that goes with my husband's. It's in Habakkuk. How do you say it? Habakkuk. Okay, Habakkuk. I want to say it the African way, isn't it funny? Habakkuk. That's the only way I have it in my head. Okay, chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. But the one I have is verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. I have the Amplified Bible here. Write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tablets that everyone who passes may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and he hastens to the end fulfillment. He will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day. To me, that was, you know, from the beginning I knew, and even though we came back, it was just the easy answer for me. And I know it's not an easy answer for a lot of us, right? We have jobs. At the time, my husband was working 3 jobs. I was working also, actually. I even had my mom come all the way over here to help with the children. I remember just because we couldn't even do it. We had a house. I had to work. He had a lot of different things he was doing. And for me to remember right away why we had started, it was just an easy, you know, we just bought things, and things can easily be replaced. And I just said yes. I just said yes. Let's do it. And as soon as I just said yes and just did that little step of faith, right, for the whole family, everything came together. And it was just unbelievable. And I know, for a lot of you, maybe it won't be as drastic as having this step of faith of, you know, moving your whole family on a mission field. But it can be just as easy as just having another plan for, like here, I had a few. I was reading something yesterday about just having this mission statement for your family. And when you don't have children, maybe it's just with your spouse. You know, having a mission statement early in your marriage, or even if it happens later, just having a purpose together, and just talking about it, even writing it down, right? Just like here, you can have it, hear it from God, but just writing it down and see what God does with it. And it's so easy to just, you know, be with your husband and then naturally, right? We even naturally we get along, right? from the beginning, we dated for a few years. We got along. We had fun. We traveled together. We already did a lot of trips around Europe. And it's easy to just have that naturally. But eventually, if God is not there, then, you know, like, if I think, really, if I stop right now and I think about the future, I can't. You know, I can't, because to me, it's you know, I look at what God has done for us, and I see that He's been faithful. Okay, I can't just say, okay, well, next year, what are we going to do about our children? I can't, you know, because we don't have, we have a different type of life, right? We don't have proper jobs. Do we have a proper job? Not really. You know, we are on a mission field. So it's, I don't know, am I all over the place? I don't even know. Okay. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So it's literally trusting God for sure for us. I can't worry about what life will bring. We have to make a plan, you know, obviously. We have three children. Our children that are going to... I was homeschooling for many years, and then the past year we decided to put them in school. So there's always, you know, serious talk and what are we going to do. But at the same time, it's literally, you know, living by faith what we are doing, for sure. So are we all willing to do this? No, for sure. And nobody is asking us to even do it. Do we sign anything? No. Are we forced to doing it? No. Are we forced to coming back every year? No. Right? I don't even know how we do it. I don't even know. We don't even have tickets the way most missionaries should have tickets. I don't want to confess, but... No, we go there, we don't even know when we're going to come back. It's come to this. Please, if you plan on going anywhere, have your way back. Right. Okay, now I'm rambling. Do you have any questions?
One thing that we've seen continually, and I think all of us have seen, is the faithfulness of God in our life, but in particular with our children. And that's a fear that every parent has. We always put our children first. And like with Abraham, Abraham had to put his child on the altar and say, God, this is not just my child, this is your child. And he trusted God that God would preserve, or even if he were to kill Isaac, that God would raise him from the dead. And this is what we've done with our children as well. Like, we're on the mission field, and it could hit them the hardest. You know, they maybe, like we were talking about, maybe they don't have a proper education in the sense of what everybody else, how everybody else educates their children. You know, we are doing the call of God, but they maybe get left behind. But God has always been faithful to do this. As an example, we when we came from here to Zambia, the thing that Greater Grace has always spoke about, Pastor Stevens always talked about, was team missions. Do we remember that? Like going as a team somewhere. And that is so helpful because it's taking a piece of the body of Christ and implanting it or grafting it into another country. And the joy and the unity and the fellowship that we have in the little team grows and becomes contagious and touches the church, the new church that's being planted. So when we decided to move back to Zambia with our two children, Pastor Ronaldo was there and Charity was there and Linda was there, their daughter. And it's not easy to find housing in the capital of even some African countries. So we moved into their house, and the patience and the perseverance that, you know, two ladies sharing a kitchen have to do, right? It could be a nuclear war. But the peace that they had and just them opening their house, we stayed with them for a month until we found 3 months. Oh my God, wow. I blocked it out of my mind, you know.
You're still friends with them.
And we're still friends. Can you imagine that? But we just had great joy, and we were as a team, and we had great fellowship. And then from there, you know, we were sent out from the church in Zambia to go to a new country of Malawi, and we went with just our family and a Zambian pastor. He was single at the time. And we went there, and thankfully we were not too far from Zambia, like a 17-hour car trip, like driving to Florida. But we would visit a lot. We would go maybe twice a year to visit, and then the people from Zambia would come and visit us. But that was still a team, and we had fellowship, and we were, and that team began to grow, and that's the faithfulness of God. You know, God brought my mother and father there. They came for just a visit. You know, they were retired. They had planted a church in Croatia and Europe, and then they had handed it over to the church and made disciples. And they were here in Baltimore, and they came for a visit just to see us. And then they said, "Hey, do you mind if we just stay here?" I said, "Yeah, why not? Okay. Just retire over here." But they haven't retired. You know, they came out of retirement. But God brought the grandparents to us, you know, that God brought so that my children could be with their grandparents, you know. That was the faithfulness of God. God has kept their health, you know, and that they became an addition to the team. And then we have Matt and Lisa, Pastor Matt and Lisa Sliva, who came. And they're like the fun uncle and the fun aunt on the team. And they came, God just knew. He knows what we need. You know, He knows what we need, and He did that to bless our family, to bless them. And it's like a reciprocal blessing that God brought this together. And what the result is that the people in the capital of Malawi and the whole country are being blessed, but also we're being blessed. We're being blessed as a family. And sometimes we could mistrust God or distrust God and think, okay, I'm like Abraham might think, I'm going and I'm, God is asking me to sacrifice my son to destroy us. Isn't that what the demons said to Christ? They said, "Have you come here to destroy us?" That's the projection of the enemy. That if you do missions, if you have missions in your life, it's going to destroy your family. It's going to destroy your relationship, but it's the opposite. It's going to bless your family. It's going to build your family. And God is going to build you. He's going to put people in your life that will build you. And we just have to make that step of just trusting Him and saying, "God, this is, yes, we're reaching out, but we're reaching out, but we're also going to be built as we're reaching out. We're going to be built up." And my wife decided to homeschool the children. I said I was going to help, but I seldom did. I helped a little bit. I taught some classes and things. But it came to a point that we just said we can't do it anymore. You know, we can't. And God was faithful. There's a Christian school that's run by an American family that, like, literally was 10 minutes from our house. And we put our children in there. We were a bit skeptical. I was comparing everything to the Christian school that I went to and to Greater Grace. And then God said, "It's different. You can't compare it. Stop doing it." And once I stopped comparing and we stopped comparing, it just became so much easier. And God found that provision for that school for our children. And they have friends there, and they're being taught the scriptures and being taught in a school setting and playing sports. And we would have never, you know, if you would have asked us, you know, "Do you think this is possible?" We didn't even know that there was these things, but there were provisions that were there for us, you know, and also in turn it blesses the whole ministry and blesses the whole church. So I could say with assurance and a guarantee, because the scripture guarantees it, that as you seek first the kingdom, as you have a vision in your life, it says in Matthew 6:33, God will add these things to your life. God will add, in whatever capacity that you're following God, whatever God's calling is for your life, it's so true. As you put God first and Christ as the center of your relationship, your marriage, that God will be adding. He'll add what you need for the health of your relationship. He'll add what you need for the health of your family. And He will do it. And it's great to be part of a ministry where this is happening. I mean, and it's multiplying and consistently. And I thought of this, and then maybe we can open it up for questions. We have a long time for questions and or comments. You know the five loaves and the two fish that the little boy had and gave to Christ? Don't you see, like, our ministry is the same way? If you think about it, we don't have any billionaires in our ministry that I know of, or millionaires even. But with the little that we have as a ministry, we give it to Christ and Christ multiplies it. And we can't even put a number of churches on the screen because it changes as the number has gone on there. Isn't that what Pastor Shabelli said? 741 churches. We're not a denomination, right? We're just a small church that started in Maine, of all places, and has just gone into the whole world because of the vision. Because God gave us as a church a vision, and He also has provided for it. And that's a little side note. When we were here in Baltimore, not knowing if we would ever go on the mission field, we said as a couple, let's take, we have 10% that we give as a tithe, and then another 10%, let's give 5 of it to missionaries, and then 5 of it we're going to just save if we go back on the mission field. If we don't, then we have a savings account, but if we do, and we were just involved in sending, like, supporting missionaries, and it was always in our heart, and I think that's a great, when you do that before God, God will multiply it. If it's a priority in your heart, it'll be a priority in how you operate as a family. Your children will see it. You know, your children will see that that's a priority in your life. And so, you know, this is the kind of ministry that we're in, and God's behind it. And we give, even the little bit that we give, God breathes on it and He multiplies it. And as a small church, we have such an impact. And when we have friends that are from other denominations, and they're missionaries in Malawi. There's a lot of missionaries in Malawi. But I'm amazed to see, you know, they don't go back to the United States. They do it once every 5 years or once every 3 years. And when they say, oh, you're going back again? And we say, yeah, we go back every year. And they're like, how do you do that? And we say, we don't even know. Sometimes it's a tax return. Sometimes it just comes from all different places. And we're just believing God. Sometimes it's at the last minute. And we think maybe we can't go back this year, but God brings it and it comes through somehow. And it's just God multiplying the little that we have. Because our priority is fellowshipping with all of us together. Our priority is the kingdom of God. Amen. So maybe you have questions about raising a family on the mission field, or just having mission, like what the topic of this workshop is. But it would be great if maybe we have some testimony or a comment from some. We have many missionaries here in the missions conference. So we have another 20 minutes. It would be great if we can have questions and comments like a wrap session. Wait, before you, so Anik and her husband Dario have just started a church in Morocco, which is amazing. And all right, go ahead. Sorry.
Should I translate?
Yeah, translate the question.
Hold on. All right, there's two aspects that she's asking about.
Tu devrais nous demander personnellement ou tu demandes à tout le monde?
Okay, two aspects. Since I was, she's talking about me.
a full-time home at home. You're going on the mission field? So you're full-time at home. So it's not the case for me. I'm a grandmother. I'm going to be working. How did you manage to what? D'être sur le champ missionnaire et travailler en même temps. So to like work and be on a mission field at the same time and do ministry, really. Like the difference between what your husband is doing full-time in the ministry and then the wife who is either at home with the children or working full-time. How did I manage that? Okay, let me go back. Okay, I've had, I think I've had every part of this, except the grandmother part yet, you know. So I was on the mission field when I didn't have any children, and so I was full-time, okay, with my husband. It was easy. We were in Zambia. So that's the easy part, right? When you don't really have to work. Well, in Morocco, it's different, right? Depending on where you are, like we were also missionaries in Budapest. So in Budapest, we were there to work, right? We were in school or whatever country you are. Sometimes you just have to work. I know in the Far East, you also have to find a way. Oh, my mom was in Oman. She couldn't work. Or, you know, sometimes that's the other option, to be there as a with a work permit. We as missionaries, we are in Zambia in the southern part of Africa. We can't work. We are there as volunteers, and so we know right away we can't really work. I'm going to confess something. I did work at some point. It was just helping with schools, and I got paid for it too. So it was, you know, a different story. Maybe I can come to that. So the first part is true. It's either you're there, you know you're on a mission field, so what you're going to be doing, you're going to follow what your husband is doing. That was the easy part. I mean, you don't do everything that he's doing.
What were
but,
some of those things?
Like okay. Okay, so going on outreach, well, depending on what country you're in, it can be different, right? People are working during the day. In Africa, it's a bit different. They are working, but it's easy to be visiting them at work. So there's always, you know, outreach every day. We are meeting. There's meetings every day. I don't do any of these things now, so it's the opposite. So it's not that I'm, you know, off or anything, but that's just how it goes. But then there is the other part where it's true, it's frustrating when you have young children. You're at home and you want to go, but then you are stuck at home. Either it's because you are, you know, they're too small and they just run around, which I have one of those, or you're just doing school. And then the other part, I did work. I taught French at the American school 1 year, and it was not many hours. And it's true, it's frustrating because you are, and that's how I knew it wasn't what I was supposed to do, because it would be so easy for me to be involved with the school. I could just work full-time also, and I will have a whole different status there, but then I wouldn't be available to my husband. So even though I'm not available the way I used to be when I didn't have any children, I'm still, you know, available to some point. So you just do what you can. You know, there is outreaches that we can do that are at different times, depending on where you are. Let's say if he's going to be driving and going for 3 days, you can't go. Maybe you can be involved in something else within where you are, either in visiting co-workers or visiting other people. And I know for your case, j'ai envie de parler français maintenant. Should I speak French? I feel weird to speak English to her.
Tu as compris ce que j'ai dit?
Okay.
Maybe I didn't say something.
Okay.
We were told by leadership and by Pastor Shibeli, like, don't feel pressure that you have to be at everything that I'm doing as a mom. And Mama Shibeli was a great example. You know, she was also doing homeschool in the early days in Ghana. And she, like what you do, maybe she can't go on every outreach, she can't be at every Bible college class, but she would have ladies in the church come over and just cook with them, teach them recipes and share recipes. And that's discipleship. That's investment, you know, spending time just, and it's been different, you know. Other people on the team, like my mother maybe and Lisa, they don't have children, so they're doing something different. They're doing maybe women's Bible study or different things. Julie would just have like a lady that would come over and she'd just spend time with them, and it was just a way of making friendships and investing the Lord in those people. And in that measure, not, she couldn't condemn herself and say, well, I'm not at outreach, I'm not evangelizing every day. But you are. You're doing in the measure that you have, you are investing. And I would say the relationships that she has with the people in the church are very strong. There's some of the ladies that will come and tell her things that they won't even tell me because she's built that relationship with them. And so in your case, Anik, I think, yeah, God will lead you. That's part of the ministry. If you're working and you're helping with contributing to the team, to your husband, that's just as much holy as it is when we're knocking on doors or going out on the street.
Okay.
I can't explain it as well as you.
So she's, it's true. She's saying in their case, they're going to be living in one city of Tangier, and the disciples that are waiting, and they've been waiting for a few years, are in Marrakesh, which is about 5 hours. So in her case, she has a job in Tangier, and she will be working there. And her husband will have to go a few days a week in Marrakesh. So it's true, she won't be able to go because they're there as missionaries.
Tu vas y aller avec eux? Tu vas travailler là-bas? Alors tu seras avec lui?
Sorry, it's in between us right now. Okay, anyway, so it's going to be, sometimes she's going to be with him, and it's true, you're going to have to figure, it's going to come, you know, like, just do a few months at the time and see how it goes, because, right, you know, you're going to go there and see that you won't be able to go for 3 days, and then you're going to be feeling guilty because you wanted to go, but then you're going to be too tired because you're working other days. And then that's how I had to, what I had to go through. I decided to work and say, okay, I'll just, you know, work 1 hour a day. How can that affect our family? Well, let me tell you, 1 hour a day teaching ended up being 3 hours every day plus homeschooling, and I had to stop it. And that's just, you know, and I felt so, you know, so overworked and so overwhelmed, and everything just fell apart. And that's how I grew, you know, in learning. And sometimes we go, we don't even know what we are doing. We didn't even know what we were doing when we first moved to Malawi, you know, especially when we moved to Malawi. We were under Pastor Rinaldo for many years, and then we moved to Malawi, and we were like, okay, now we have to do everything ourselves, you know. So we literally had to start over and do everything, and sometimes I couldn't even do it. With, you know, oh, I just let my children just run wild, which happens a lot. Sorry, if you see my son running around.
Yeah. There's such great liberty that we have, you know, as a ministry, and we don't condemn ourselves. And we just find, like, what God has for us. Maybe it's a little thing, you know, finding a little thing, that thing that I think that set you free and set me free a lot to hear, okay, just invest in one lady. Just have people, instead of us sometimes visiting a lot of people, just have people come over our house and invite people over our house. And in Malawi, that's a huge deal. Like the pastors in Malawi are kind of, you know, like they're untouchable. They're on such a high level. And the fact that you're inviting people to your house, it's like, wow, this is different. Usually we never even talk to we never get to see the pastor, but now we're coming to the pastor's house, and it's a whole different thing. It's instituting the idea of fellowship and body life and interaction, and it blesses the team. Do you have a question? Sorry. Oh, okay, just... Did you hear what she said? Okay, so she said, like in my case, you're balancing three ministries. You know, that my relationship with my wife, children, and then the church. And what happens if something happens in the family and you have to drop things and attend to your family? What happens to the church? That's a great question. And it happened like last month. Last month, Julie got malaria, and... I know malaria seems like a crazy thing, but it's painful. It's like having a fever and having your whole body hurt at the same time. But that's how we've been trained to build a church and invest in people so that you work yourself out of a job. In a sense that I'm training people that if I'm not there, the church continues. Because what happens if I just died? The church should keep going, right? So, yeah, if that happens, we have people that we've invested in and trained that they can take the church. So when she was in the hospital for a few days and I was with her, the church continued. Either my father or Pastor Matt or some of the other Malawian pastors just took over and they knew, what was going to happen. My wife comes first. It's God first, then it's your family, and then it's the ministry. So I had to spend time with her and make sure she was okay. And then, yeah, it was like every joint supplies. You know that verse that every joint supplies? Like my parents and then Pastor Matt and Lisa took care of my children while I was in the hospital with her. And then the pastors that we ordained kind of took over the church and did the things in the church, like the outreach programs and everything. So that's the benefit of having a team, and that's the benefit of many times leaders never make disciples so that the church dies with them or the work dies with them. But everything that we learned when we were in Bible school, we're trying to pour out into the people that want to listen to it. And then whatever we pour out, it's like they can take my place. We could, I think, leave the church in Malawi, and I think they would be fine. But for now, it seems like God wants us to stay a bit longer. So that's the benefit of discipleship, I think, in one-word answer. That's how it's possible, just by investing. And like Christ said, he said to the disciples and to all of us, we will do more than he did. How is that possible? It's because Christ is in every one of us, and we're letting Christ live through us. So we're multiplied exponentially of what Christ was doing as one person, and that was his plan as the body of Christ. We have about 10 more minutes, so we can. This is great. I maybe even comments, like a rap session. Yeah. So he said that missions is flexibility, which is so true. And we don't come in with our culture and our mindset, you know, me being American. Already we had to work that out in our marriage, right? French and American. But, I always think of it like, you know, I might have a passport that says a certain country, but I'm a citizen of heaven. And we are citizens of heaven. And what we're, and when I say that in Malawi, it really sets people free. Because so many people want to come to this country, which is a blessing. But we say, you know what, I'm not just a citizen of that country. We are all citizens of heaven. And we want to have a heavenly culture. Because you're right, it's easy to bring our culture and say, this is the plan of God. But maybe it's not. In West Africa and a little bit in Southern Africa, we dance during church, you know. We dance, and for some people that's like, wow, church is not a nightclub. Well, we dance in church, but it's holy. It's not revealing. It's not, but you can, it's part of the culture there, and we've adopted it. And I believe it glorifies God. And in other senses, you know, we had to change that. We had to be flexible and say, okay, wow, this is new for us. But then now my parents are the ones that are the first ones dancing at 80 years old, you know. So, it's so true, whether it be with your family. And it was a big change, because when we first were together, just us as a couple, we would do everything together. We would evangelize together, we would visit people together. And I'm sure maybe it was harder for you than it was for me, where she had to say, well, I have to be with the children. Maybe I can only come to one outreach a week, like we do. And that's also a difference. You know, here, think of it, in the Western world, people are working a full-time, 40-hour-a-week job in some cases. And then the little time that you have left, you're giving it to God for outreach. Maybe if it's once a week, that's a miracle. That's incredible. That's incredible faith. You know, we're in another country. We can't work on the outside, you know, can't work, but our job is evangelism, you know. So on the other side, it could be easy to be lazy and say, oh, I don't have to work and I do nothing, and then the church never grows. But we have to look at our visitation, our evangelism, as almost as a job. You know, we're being supported. Am I being a good steward of that support? I look at, like, this is my salary, and I want to put time into it. And that's why where we are, we're on the street almost 5 days a week. We're on the street at least 2 hours a day doing evangelism. And we have the ability to do that. So in whatever capacity that is, I remember in the early days in Uganda, Pastor Eugene Davis was on the team. And he found a job in Uganda that he was able to work doing computer programming. And he worked 3 days out of the week. And with his salary, he paid like the rent for the team house. And that is that any less spiritual than him being on the street evangelizing? It's the same, right? And that's, God gave him that provision. So when those kind of situations come up, I think we're just sensitive to God and say, okay, is this from God? Is this going to benefit the work? And if we can say yes with peace, then we go towards that, and we just follow that. So that's a great word, and that's so true. Maybe two more questions or comments? Yes, sir. Yes. So that's a great question. How do you guard your heart that you're not just in another place, just living life without maybe purpose or without vision? And it is easy to I think that's where it's easy to complain and also compare. Okay, like, oh yes, we have the same bills, but the service is not as great here as it is. I mean, it's better here than it is over there. And there's a lot of ways, I think, that we can guard our heart. One way that really protects us, I think, is we have messages that we listen to from Baltimore. Almost like 4 days a week, we download the messages from Baltimore, and we watch them together as a team, and then we invite anybody that's available in the church to come and listen to them with us. And just that in itself is what made our pastors. We had some Malawian men that would sacrifice and come, and they were there every day, some of them walking like 2 hours to come to our house to listen to the Baltimore messages. And it protected us, and it guarded our hearts. So, you know, when we had things that we could complain about, we just had a lot of doctrine, like constant doctrine being poured into our mind. And it also built them up, and you could see how just the way they were thinking and the way that they were speaking, they were changed. So that was one way that guarded our heart, yeah. And then I think fellowship in the church, and what? Yeah, and fellowship among our team helped us from just not letting things get mundane, you know. And not complaining about little things, but okay, just reminding ourselves that we have a purpose here, that we're not just here just to live here only, but we're here with a vision to invest in people. And it's true, we constantly have to be reminded of things as human beings, isn't it? We are so easy to forget. So I feel like we need constant input. I need to constantly be hearing the Bible, being reminded. Hearing a message that has an anointing, that changes. I can listen to a message and say, man, I get touched, and I start thinking eternally rather than just thinking naturally. So for me, I think that's the best way that okay. That's a great question though. What you said about short term and long term, you know, a great way to maybe begin, if you have a heart for missions or God's put some place on your heart, as a family, maybe take a vacation and do like a missions vacation, you know. Visit us, you know, you're welcome to visit us. Spend 2 weeks with us. And especially when it's not a conference, when it's like the everyday schedule that a church has, and you can come with your family and operate with, you know, you come with your family and just see how it is. And sometimes you find that it's cheaper than even doing a regular vacation, you know. And it's so much more fulfilling and so much more fun with people that you know or people in the church. We had a lady from New York that came and spent a month with us. And she's not from Greater Grace, but her brother was in Greater Grace. And she just had an amazing time. She used it as like part of her vacation. And she ministered. We put her on the radio. We have like a national radio program. And I'm sure that made incredible memories for her and maybe planted seeds for her for future missions. Then we had another lady that came and she spent, she's from the church in Budapest, and she was all of them were great blessings, you know. And just helped in a measure and just served with us and did outreach with us. And that was like, that was a month and a half that she came for. So it wasn't just a vacation, but it was great. It was a blessing. So, you know, what great opportunities. Almost, and you could sneeze and just point to, I don't know why I sneeze, but just point to a place on the map. And most likely within, you know, 100 or 200 kilometers or miles, there's a church somewhere there, right? So there's so many choices where you can visit. And what a great way to spend time with your family and reaching out, you know, and serving God and getting to know another church and another group of people. I think, okay, last one. Absolutely. That I think I agree, and that's why I have so much respect for, and I was doing it too when living here, to keep your heart on fire while you're working maybe two jobs and you're part of a church, and it takes an incredible amount of faith. And yeah, it's just as much a mission if you're planting a church in your own country as it is if you're going overseas. I think we as a ministry really believe that and talk about it. So whatever aspect that, yeah, whether someone plants a church within the United States, I think can be more challenging to plant a church in the United States. Christ said a prophet is without honor in his own country, right? Yeah. And that's why this is such an important time. You can bring, because it's like a missions trip for your whole church. The people in Malawi can't get visas to come here, and they don't have the finances to come to Baltimore. But we go and visit Zambia when they have a conference. That's why conferences are so important as well. So we put all of our resources into bringing as many people to the Zambian conference, and yeah, bringing people out of their normal setting and seeing the church in another location, and it touches people. So, all right, we're going to close. We are a little bit over, so you can get your children. But thank you for coming. All right. Sorry, it's a session though. All right, Lord, bless us, and thank you so much for everybody here, and bless the messages to come, we pray. In your precious name, amen.